This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hi, everybody. We're really glad to be with you today. I apologize for my voice. I just got a little bit of a cold and honestly spent the weekend laughing a little bit too much, so I sound like a smoker. I assure you I've not taken up smoking. But if I'm over here hacking up along, I really do apologize. I promise germs can't come through the screen. We're going to talk a little bit today about just some really simple parenting hacks.
Or hacks, kind of. Maybe parenting shortcuts?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Hacks, whatever.
Just like, we're not going to get into like a massive philosophy of parenting. We might mention a few things related to big ideas, but
it's just things that we have found incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Over the years when we work with parents.
That are simple,
you go
free.
Home, do them today.
Yeah.
And yeah, free. Yeah, free 99. Yeah.
So what kinds of things, you know, what might be a good place to start?
Well, I don't know about a good place to start, but I had a client last week. She's about to have, or she just had another baby, and she's really worried about time with her toddler. And I just wanted to help her with her perspective shift, because she was just like, my toddler is just acting out and, you know, all the things. And I kind of just looked at her and I said, imagine what it would be like if your child got a brand new parent overnight that they loved just as much as you. And she was like, Oh yeah. I'm like, it makes sense that this is really hard for them. You got to shower them with connection and love and you'll get through it. But like thinking about it like that, her eyes got really wide. She was like, that would be painful, you know? And I'm like, yeah, it would. So she found it helpful. So I wanted to add that one. And please don't blame the baby. I say that to parents all the time. Do not blame the baby. If your child, your toddler, or your other child asked to do something, if the answer is no because you're like feeding the baby or whatever, don't say that. Just say, focus on what you can do with your kid. Like, we're going to go to the park after nap time or whatever. Speak about what you can do and not what you're not able to do because of the baby, because that will build resentment against the sibling and you don't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a helpful idea. And that seems to intersect a little bit. This is certainly something that we've noticed, that part of what's so hard about the introduction of a new sibling is because, I mean, there is a real cost. If you're, let's say, an older sibling or an older sibling, is a real cost in terms of attention.
Which is normal.
Yeah.
It's normal. You're not doing anything wrong.
No, it's just, it's like my brother, when I was born, he was used to having both my parents. They're pretty much full and undivided attention all the time, which is great. Like, that's not, my parents weren't doing anything wrong by doing that. But also there was nothing wrong about me coming along and disrupting that, but it's hard. And so, one of the things that I think probably would be worth mentioning also is, we've got to come up with a better name for this, but we're borrowing this from Dr. Joy Deutsch, who was in Hawaii for a long time, a great Adlerian. I think he was maybe a student of Rudolf Dreiker's.
I think so, yeah.
But he had this idea of individual special time.
It does sound corny, but parents do not forget it.
Yeah, that's
individual
right. Yeah,
special
like,
time.
It's that corny name. Yeah. And I think sometimes parents overestimate the amount of time that a kid needs. And part of that is because, and this is me too, a lot of the time when I'm giving my kids my attention, really what I mean by giving them my attention is I'm giving them about between 40 and 60% of my attention. And kids are just very perceptive and they can tell. And the difference between them getting, I mean, if I were to stack up 10 minutes of my complete 100% full and undivided attention, 10 minutes of that with 8 hours of 60% of my attention, children at the end of the day, they're going to prefer the 10 minutes of my complete and full, complete, full and undivided attention. And so, you know, as big of a struggle as, let's say, a new baby in the household is, I ask parents, could I win you over to the idea that could you find 10 minutes a day? Every single day, mind you, but could you find 10 minutes a day where you could give this child your complete, full and undivided attention? Phone is not in the room.
No screens.
Baby is not in the room. There are no emails, there are no phone calls, there are no spouses, there are no other children to speak of in that 10 minutes, barring a catastrophic emergency. Like, and I don't mean somebody tripped and fell. I mean like the house is burning down emergency.
Dramatic. You
know? Well, no, I mean,
it's
because,
true. It's true.
Because, you know, it's like, oh, sorry, I have to interrupt our time because little Billy like tripped in the hall. I'm sorry, this is not an emergency. Like, nobody's going to die. Little Billy's going to cry for a little while and he's going to be okay. He's going to go right back to playing. And somebody else can help, an older sibling or a spouse, a partner, a co-parent, whatever. So
it often amazes parents that kids only need like 10, maybe 20 if they're older, minutes of connection, like undivided attention / connection a day, and they are securely attached. That's it. It's the consistency. It's like 10 minutes that you get to delight in your child. Let them pick what you do. It'll probably be the most boring thing ever at first, but do it.
Well, yeah, like the stipulations, right, are only this. Child gets to pick whatever as long as it is safe and free.
Safe and free.
You know, no, I'm not going to, you know, whatever. No, I'm not going to take you to the store and buy you a $200 bike. Like, that's not the activity.
Although we will say, like, if you sometimes go and get, like, go on a walk and go get ice cream, just
sure,
that's
yeah.
Fine. Just not like every time, because that builds a different kind of relationship, which we can talk about yeah. On another
one. Yeah. And it gets unsustainable for parents. So some of this is also making sure that it's sustainable for you. That's why we say, you know, 10 minutes and yeah, it doesn't cost money and you know, these other things. Really, anybody can do that. And that is not to say that it is easy to do that. And I mean, we're both parents. I think we feel this way with our kids that like that it's not always easy to do it.
Especially after
but
work.
But it is doable. Like there is, barring really, really extreme circumstances, and I'm open to the idea that those are out there, most every parent can find 10 minutes a day, particularly for the young kids, you know.
And if you have to miss it, just be... what's the word I'm looking for? Intentional about rescheduling it. That way it's like, hey, this is really still important to me. Let's do it at XYZ time.
That's
how
great.
Do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Another thing I just thought of was, don't fall out of my head. Oh, building a love story with the siblings. Like you get to shape the narrative. Like, when, you could say like, I see your brother smiling at you or playing with your toys. He really loves you. You know,
oh,
like,
nice.
So,
yeah.
so it starts to like, oh, he's trying to copy me. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a, he's trying to be like me because he looks up to me and he loves me. I found that to be really helpful too, to sort of like preemptively do that. Yeah. I was going to tell a funny story, but I'm not going to do that.
we can save it.
Yeah. Save it. It's about farts.
That's so. The exclusive VIP only paid content that you can access.
About farts. Yeah. That's what it's about. what's the other thing we were going to talk about? Connection before correction.
Okay, yeah. And, can you explain that phrase a little bit?
And I think this is Betty Lou Bettner, maybe Amy Lou. I'm not sure. But I know it's positive parenting. It's not an original idea. But very generally, just across the board, whatever you do with your kid, connect with them before you do anything else. That could be anything. My favorite phrase to use is, I love you and... Also works really well with spouses. I love you, and will you please take out the trash? It sounds a lot better than take out the trash. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, no, there's. I think it also, you know, we need to get a little bit curious about what it is exactly with our kids that helps them to connect. I'll give you an example. So both my kids, we're I'm really touchy-feely with both my kids. So, like, I mean, they're always kind of climbing all over me or whatever. But my son, when he's upset or having a tough time, it bothers him to have me touching him. He doesn't like that. What he likes is for me to sit close and to look at him and listen, of course, you know, that works for him. My daughter, she really needs to, like, feel my body. She needs to, like, feel the warmth of my body. She needs to feel some, you know, some compression from my arms. And that works for her. So to, let's say, make sure that we're curious about what it is exactly that is going to help our child to feel connected to us. And the only other thing I was going to mention here is that when we're talking about correction, it's not just about stop doing that or well, I need you to do X or whatever. And so we're not just talking about misbehavior. We're also just talking about those proper, like, parental guidance kinds of things. So a good example would be, you know, my kids, maybe they fall, scrape their knee. A very common thing, and I think well-intentioned thing, yes, for parents to do is for them to say to their kid, oh, you're
it's
okay.
It's okay.
You're okay. It's okay. It's okay. You're okay.
It's okay.
And what's happening, right, is that what they're trying to say is, you know, like, it's a scraped knee. It's going to be okay. And they're trying to reassure. And I mean, that really, that's coming from a good place. In the heart of a child, what that does often is they're freaking out. And so what's happening is I'm looking at my knee. It's covered in blood. And my dad's over here saying it's okay. He doesn't get it. Like, he actually doesn't understand what's going on with me and how bad this really is. So,
and even at a broader level, then it's like they learn I can't trust what I feel.
That might be a worse option.
Yeah, I don't feel okay, but dad's telling me I'm okay and telling me to, like, get up. I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, of course, the alternative to this is not just to be, you know, to freak out, you know, for your child and be like, oh my God, you know, and take them to the emergency room every time that there's a scraped knee. But here's a nice little trick that I developed with my kids. It seemed to work with my kids. Maybe it won't for yours, and that's okay, whatever, but I'll offer this. Is, let's say that they got a scraped knee. I'll go over. I will not freak out. I will not run over to them. I will walk over to them. I'll say, okay, let me take a look. And I take a look, and I take a good long look. I look at least 3 seconds more than I need to. And what that's signaling to them is, oh, he's really curious. He really is checking it out. And then I look at him and I say, okay, I got good news and I got bad news. Would you like to hear? And by the way, this is also just a little trick embedded in here. If you've got some feedback for your child, it is an incredibly powerful thing just to ask for their permission to give it. That gives them a sense of empowerment and agency and choice and responsibility, so on and so forth. So I've got good news and bad news. Would you like to hear it? And they say, they always say yes.
Yeah.
So I'll say, okay, the bad news is I looked at your knee and that looks like it really, really hurt. And probably it was also pretty scary to fall on the ground. And that's tough. Here's the good news. I looked at it. I think we can clean it up. And from everything that I see, in not very long, you're going to be okay. So, and what's great about this, right, is it is reassuring to them. It's giving them a sense of hope. It's framing it all within, it's correcting their understanding of what's happening to them. But I've connected with them first, right? And they're like, oh no, like, he's in with my experience. He gets it. This really freaking hurts. And it was so scary to fall down. And dad sees it. Okay. And now he's telling me to be okay. Actually, I can trust that because that's congruent with what I've got going on inside of me. I can trust him. So
another one, just to kind of bounce off of that, is I guess, I don't know. I don't know if this is an original idea, but when my daughter gets hurt or she's afraid, let's go with when she's having like a tantrum. She's like mad, because I feel like we'll get a lot of questions about that. I don't rush to say like to get her to calm down, because first of all, that's disrespectful. like, and has it ever worked when somebody said calm down?
Never.
So I connect with her first. I say, you seem really mad, or you seem really fill in the blank. I just take a guess, which gives her consent to say, like, no, I feel this. Because sometimes I say, it seems like you're feeling mad. She goes, no, I'm feeling so mad. I'm like, so mad. Okay. And then once I've hugged her, because she's also very, very physical touch, I will ask her, would you like me to share some of my calm? And then I'll pretend to pull it out of my pocket. And I say, would you like to eat it or would you like me to put it on your heart? And she alternates. Sometimes she wants to eat it and she pretends to eat it, or I'll put my hand on her heart. And then I'll hug her. And that just, like, you can feel their body, the tension just, like, leaving their body when you do that. But that tends to work with tantrums. Now my daughter's 3, so probably not going to work with a 17-year-old. But maybe. Let me know. Yeah.
You know, I'm aware that we've talked a lot about particularly young kids today. And so I'm imagining we probably need to do, like, a parenting acts part 2, part 3, part whatever.
That's true.
But, yeah, but so good that we at least got a few things out there that we hope will be helpful to parents who I know can get kind of discouraged and not know what to do. And you know what? As always, we don't claim to be, like, claim to have some monopoly on good ideas or things like this. I mean, not me. Maybe you do, but I don't. No. And so, look, it's like if these are new ideas, give them a try. If they're helpful, great. If not, that also is fine. And there are a bunch more ideas out there that you can entertain. These are just a few that we have to offer.
Should I do the one about mistakes or share or save that one?
I think part 2. Let's leave them hanging a little bit, don't you?
I will say about young kids, zipper jammies. Biggest hack, zipper jammies.
Zipper jammies.
Zipper PJs. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about.
This segment is sponsored by Carter's. I don't know where this is. I mean, and I like zipper jammies. I have no, is this like a, this is a
they
thing
They are
though.
Just, yeah, or they zip all the way up. That way you can just get them out of that diaper as fast as possible.
Okay. Well, see, there you go.
Zipper jammies.
we'll see if we can get Pampers for the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you think?
If you want to sponsor.
We are open to sponsorship opportunities. So we've got it. We'll put a contact form in our bio. That's it, or in the description.
Yeah, I meant to say this in the beginning because I don't want people that aren't parents necessarily to not find anything useful here, because parent is more of a verb, I would say, and everybody can do it. It really does. This is corny, but it does take a village. It takes a village, and friends can do this. I would do this stuff with your kids. You know, you do it with mine. I don't know. I think it's helpful all around. So I didn't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah, these are certainly good principles for everybody. So
okay, we talked long
enough. Stay tuned for part 2. Thank you.